I think for many of us, it has been an exciting time recently, coming back to in-person community. Lent and Easter seemed to have new meaning this year, I think, because of that. We are possibly a smaller community than before the recent dark times. Although we continue to be in harmony with those who join us consistently through the live stream. Overall, now we will go back to ordinary time, having more contact with each other than in the last couple of years. And so let's pray for this to last, even while various forces in our culture seek to keep us enslaved by fear. Remember that fear destroys love even more than hatred does, although the two are very much interrelated. So this week, as we continue to travel through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continues to provide intensely new meaning for old laws. Today, he has something to say about how we use our eyes and our hands. Today's culture, like Israel at times, both want to throw off the Ten Commandments. God gave those commandments for our good, not for our enslavement. So we need to keep reminding ourselves of this, and we need to remind the world of this. The kingdom of heaven is at stake, and so there is continuity between the old law and the new. There is not just the old way of being Catholic and the new way, as if somehow those are separate. It is one continuous way as the way God has revealed himself to fallen humanity becomes more and more clear to those who follow him, who believe in him, and who love him, and who do what he says. Jesus acts with divine authority to perfect and deepen the moral codes of the Mosaic Law. Jesus is, in a very real sense, the new Moses and the new lawgiver of the new covenant. He uses alarming images to underscore the need to avoid occasions of sin, the sins themselves, but also the eternal punishments to which they lead. As in his treatment of the fifth commandment earlier this week, Jesus intensifies and interiorizes the sixth commandment concerning adultery, sixth and ninth commandment. He goes beyond to teach that lustful thoughts are a kind of adultery in the heart. He wants us to eliminate the root of sinful actions and to love from the heart and take whatever actions that we need to do. The heart was considered the region of moral disposition, and so we can look at it that way today. Our eyes speak about what's in our hearts. St. Paul says, "Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit," referring especially to the heart. Pope Francis says that adultery, like all other sins, is first conceived in the depth of our being, and once the wrong choice is made in the heart, it bears bad fruit. So lust is selfish desire. To embrace this desire poisons one's heart and blocks the development of love. It would be better immediately to cut out a temptation to lust or any other source of sin in our lives, rather than to let it erode our soul and lead us to hell, because that is the consequence. Losing an eye or a hand really does not keep us from sinning. It may in the moment, but that's not the point. It's something deeper that the hand and the eye symbolize. It takes more than that. Today, practicing chastity and the virtue of holy purity is considered outdated, or could even be seen to take away our freedom. But Jesus moves the bar. Observance of the law is not simply fulfilling minimum conditions. It's not getting 50% to pass a test. God gives us his law, which is to be written in our hearts, for us to reach a summit, not to stay at a level of mediocrity. It's not the law of minimum effort. People might say, well, I haven't killed anybody, so I'm fine, or I haven't had an affair, so I'm faithful. To be a disciple is to be like the one who has not held himself back, even the slightest. Jesus himself, who has given us his total self. Would we want mediocrity in our Savior? Of course not. And so, would we want to accept mediocrity in his disciples? Of course not. It's not an easy standard, but you and I can't pretend to be his disciples unless we are at least willing to walk that path which he has walked, Mediocrity is not an option. Today we have Sex and the City. Today, porn sites receive more website traffic in the US than Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Netflix, Pinterest, and Zoom combined. We don't realize this, how pervasive this is, the opportunities for the lust of the eyes. Today, Christ aims high and points his authority over the sixth and ninth commandments, those referring to our sexuality and our purity of thought. We must therefore cut out the root of evil and avoid those thoughts and occasions that would lead us to do what God does not want us to do. This is what these words that may look so radical and exaggerated to us actually mean. As always, prayer remains at the top of our spiritual to-do list. St. Alphonsus Liguori puts it like this: if we neglect to pray and thus break the chain of prayers, the chain of graces to protect us from sin shall also be broken, and we shall lose the grace of perseverance. Today's psalm also provides a profound approach to prayer. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We might also consider the experience of Elijah the prophet, this profound passage where Elijah has been battling the 400 prophets of Baal, but he's now depressed and saddened, and so he goes away not knowing, doesn't even want to live anymore, because he sees that even within Israel, there are these prophets of Baal. There's this worship of false gods. And so today we are reminded that we still have prophets of Baal. And we see ourselves, I know, we talk to so many people who feel like we're bleeding disciples who are leaving us. But what does God do with Elijah? He reminds him, not in the craziness of nature, not in the busyness of his life, but in that silent moment, that quiet moment where he says to Elijah, don't you worry about a thing. Yes, there will always be prophets of Baal, even within the church, but there is always going to be a remnant. Trust in the Holy Spirit that God will not abandon his people and he will not abandon faith. It will always be present as it is here today. Friday fasting becomes normal again in ordinary time. This is one way to break the mediocrity of daily living in an indulgent culture. Ultimately, we must recommit ourselves to do what Jesus tells us. Remember, that's what Mary said at Cana, and she says again to us. So let's follow that commandment. I don't think we will need to cut off our hands or gouge out our eyes if we do that. I don't think we will be mediocre if we do that.